We read a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Most people that are familiar with the Bible at all know the story of Moses and Moses' birth and how he was hid by his mother and became, for 3 months, and then was found by Pharaoh's daughter and became her child. And I just want to make a couple comments about some of the verses that we read, and then I want to get to my message this morning. And I want you to know, I know what time it is. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were reminding me, I think on purpose, that, you know, if a preacher can't get his point across in 10 to 15 minutes, that he ain't much of a preacher. In fact, here's what they said. They said, you know, most preachers, they have content for about 10 minutes, and after that, it's just fill-in. I said, well, maybe. You know, I'm not going to agree with something like that, but I know what time it is. I'll get you out pretty close to on time. I'll remind you this morning that when Moses was born, he was born under the sentence of death. Pharaoh had passed a law that every little baby boy, he wanted the midwives to kill them. They would not. And so he passed a law that said every son that's born, you'll cast into the river. And I'll remind you this morning that every child that's born into our world today is under that same sentence of death. Not a physical death by not being cast into a river, but a spiritual death. Because the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And it says later on in that same book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And even though these little ones that are born, like Aubrey this morning as we looked at her, what a sweet, sweet little baby. But I want you to remember that every little baby that's born is born with a sin nature. Passed down from Adam, from generation to generation to generation to generation. And I want to remind you this morning that Satan's desire is that every little baby that's born one day ends up in hell. That's his desire. His desire that every child who grows up and becomes an adult will reject Jesus Christ all their life and end up spending eternity in hell. Moses' parents, again, were slaves in Egypt, and they got his mother conceived and bare a son. And the Bible says that when she saw him, he was a goodly child. Not only a pretty baby, as I've never seen an ugly baby, most of them are pretty, but a goodly child, not only pretty to look at, but I think God gave Moses' mother a vision of what Moses was going to do. God, through the Bible, gives mothers a vision. I think he gave Hannah a vision of what Samuel was going to be. I think he gave Elizabeth a vision of what John the Baptist was going to be. I think he gave Mary a vision of what Jesus was going to be. And I think that he gave Moses' mother a vision that he was going to use this child in a mighty way. And so she built an ark. And I can see her going down to the riverside, picking out each bulrush, putting it together. I can see her putting the slime and the pitch on it to make it waterproof. And again, just paints a picture of how every mother and father has the responsibility to make choices for their children when they're young. And I think as Jochebed and Amram picked out those bulrushes to make that ark for Moses, they used care. And as we make decisions for our children, we need to use the same care. Now, I know some of you don't have any children at home this morning, but I would remind you that God entrusts grandparents sometimes with that, with the opportunity to help their grandchildren make decisions. And we need to use care as we help them do that. The same, I mean, I think as they picked out the bulrushes, they realized that the choices that I make as I assemble this ark may mean the difference between life and death. And the choices that you make for your children when they're young, and the choices that you lead them in when they're older, may make the difference between life and death. The fact that you're in church this morning tells me that you understand one of the most important decisions that you need to lead them to and to pray for them to make is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every child needs a mom and a dad that points them to Jesus Christ, that gets them in a church that preaches Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And so they used care as they put that ark together. They put it in the river. The angels watched over it, as did Moses' older sister, Miriam. And when she saw Pharaoh's daughter send for that ark and open it up, and by the way, did you ever think about why that little baby cried when that princess opened up the ark? I know it's not in the Bible, but here's what your preacher thinks. I think an angel reached down from heaven and pinched that little baby. Because I know there's no lady that can withstand the tears of a little baby. I mean, their compassion comes out. And I think that's what happened when that princess saw that little baby cry. Her compassion came out. And Marian went up and said, "Hey, would you like for me to go get somebody to nurse that baby for you?" I mean, she planted the thought in the princess's head, "You're going to keep him, aren't you? You're going to make him your child, aren't you? I'll go get somebody to watch him for you." And the princess says, "Yes, go." And Miriam went and got her mother and Moses' mother. And the princess says, "Take this child, nurse it for me, and I will pay you." And you can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor, because the very one that 80 years later was going to come back to Egypt and lead his people out of slavery to the promised land was raised, and his education and his care was paid for by Pharaoh. And 80 years later, he was going to come back and lead God's people out of Egypt. I have 3 points this morning. Number one, children belong to God. Every child belongs to God. Moses' mother birthed Moses, but he ended up belonging to Pharaoh's daughter. We birth children. Ladies, you birth children. They're not yours. They're not their dad's. Every child that is born belongs to God. And if we could get that truth in our minds, if we could understand that every child that's born really belongs to God, we would take more care in what we do. Because one day I think every mom and every dad is going to have to stand before God, and they're going to have to give an account how they took care of God's child. They're going to give an account. Did they point that child to Jesus? Did they get that child in a church that preached Jesus? Did they try to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? They are not ours. They are loaned to us by God. And I know some of you are thinking, "Oh, you're just preaching this sermon because you found out that Chantel's pregnant." You can ask Adam. I had already sent and I struggled with my message this morning. I told God, I said, "I don't understand why you want me to preach this. I just don't understand. I'll do it, but I don't understand." And I had already sent him what I was preaching, and the bulletin was printed before I found out. I was the last one to find out, but before I found out last night. But our children belong to God. They are loaned to us by Him. Now, again, when we realize that they belong to Him and that we're going to be accountable to Him for how we've raised our children, just like we're going to be accountable for the talents that He's given us and for the time that He gives us and for the other opportunities that He gives us, it will make us more responsible and make us think about more the choices that we make for our kids. Because if you've got young children, you're making choices for them today. And the choices that you make for them today, choices that they have nothing to do with, they're so young that they live in the choices of their mom and dad. One day we're going to have to answer to the one who they really belong to. One day we're going to have to give an account to the one that they really belong to. And so if you've got young children at home, I want you to understand and realize and walk out with this truth this morning that your children are not yours. They belong to God. Some of us have lost children in the womb. Some of us have lost young children, and we weep, and it's something that a parent never gets over. I don't care how old you get, a parent never gets over. But the comfort that we can take when a little child dies is that they are in heaven. God gave us to him, gave them to us for a few moments, for maybe a few days, but he needed them in heaven for something. And so he took them to heaven, and they reside with God in heaven. The children are God's. They belong to him. Point number one. Point number two. The greatest responsibility that we have as parents, the greatest responsibility that we have as dads, the greatest responsibility that we have as moms are raising our children. That's the greatest responsibility that we have. The greatest responsibility. I know there's lots of other things that we have to do. I know that we have to make a living and we have to provide for our families. And I know sometimes that that takes both parents. The economics of today, sometimes both parents have to work to provide a living for their family. But as we go to work, as we get involved in other things, we need to remember that the greatest responsibility that we have is to raise our children. That's our greatest responsibility. I mean, our greatest responsibility is not, you know, to work hard and make a lot of money. That's not our greatest responsibility. Our greatest responsibility is not, you know, is not to buy all the toys. And I know some people, they express their love to their children by providing all the things that the world thinks that they have to be happy. I want to tell you something this morning. My experience tells me and shows me that a little child who knows that mom and dad love them and spend time with them are happier than those that have all the toys. Sometimes moms and dads give the toys to the kids and they don't spend any time with the kids. They don't tell the kids that they love them. And every child that I've met, I'd rather have mom and dad than I would all the toys. And we make choices. But our greatest responsibility is to our children. Our greatest responsibility. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something this morning. And here's what Satan does. He does it. You know, the world that we live in, they look down, especially on ladies that make the choice to stay home and raise their children. They tear them down. They said, oh, no. You need, and again, please don't misunderstand. I understand there's times that ladies have to work. And I'm not preaching against that. But I will tell you, the world and Satan wants you to do that whether you need to do it or not. Because he knows that if he can get mom out of the house and into the workplace, the children are ripe for him to get. And the world tears down moms that make that decision to stay at home and care for their children. That not ought to be. That's not the way. That's not the way it ought to be. We need to lift up those moms that decide to stay at home. We need to lift them up and say, yeah, you're making the best choice. You're making the choice that God wants you to make. And again, I understand there's times you got to work. There's things you got to do. But again, never, ever forget, never forget that our prime responsibility is to raise our children. And our prime responsibility, just like Moses' parents did to him, our primary responsibility is to get that child into the ark of salvation. To get that child into the ark of salvation in Jesus Christ. It ought to be mom and dad that tell their little boy and their little girl that they're a sinner. You can see that they're a sinner more than anybody else. Amen? But it ought to be mom and dad that tell their little boys and their little girls that they're sinners. It ought to be moms and dads that tell them there's a penalty for that sin. And that sin is to be separated from God forever. It ought to be moms and dads, the first one that a child hears a story from Jesus from. Moms and dads ought to take this book, the Bible, and tell their little boys and their little girls that there's a God who loves them in spite of their sin. There's a God who loves them so much that he sent his son to pay the price for their sins. There's a God who loves them so much that he's preparing a place for them to come and live with him forever and ever and ever. And what a wonderful privilege it is for a mom and dad to be able to pray with their little boy or their little girl or their teenage boy or their teenage girl, to pray with them and help them ask Jesus to save them. I've had the privilege of doing that with a lot of children that were not my own. And sometimes I feel bad because I know in my heart that mom and dad wanted to do that. And every mom and dad, and by the way, if you're a grandparent of a child and you have that privilege, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to sit down with your little granddaughter, your little grandson, and tell them about Jesus. That's the primary responsibility we have as parents. Our primary responsibility is to raise our children and to tell them about Jesus Christ. And the third point is, God will give us our wages. God will give us our wages. You know, I know that, especially if your children are little, the pay's not too good right now. There's sleepless nights. There's an unending mountain of clothes to wash and dry. There's meals to cook, dishes to wash, coals to nurse, broken hearts to heal, lessons to teach. And every now and then our children surprise us because they say, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad." Doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while they rise up and call Mom and call Dad blessed. But no way does that cover all the work. But I want you to realize this morning, somebody else is watching. Somebody else is watching. They're marking down all the hours that you spend with your children. They're collecting all the tears that you weep for them. They see all your labor. And I think there's going to be a special reward in heaven to all the moms and dads that have done what God has wanted them to do in raising their children. And so the princess said to Jochebed, "Take this child. Take this child. Raise it for me. I'll give you your wages." Not yours, it's mine. Princess didn't know that Jochebed was really Moses' mother, but she claimed the child. She said, "This is my child. I want you to take it. I want you to raise it. And I'll give you your wages." And that's what God says to every one of us. Everyone that's been a parent, everyone that's a grandparent, those of you that are expecting parent to be, take this child. It's not yours. It really belongs to me. But you take it. You raise it, and I'll give you your wages. I'll give you your wages. If you're a mom or a dad, a grandpa or grandma that's here this morning, I want to be very blunt with you for just a second. You cannot be the kind of parent, or you cannot be the kind of grandparent that your child needs if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just can't. You could be the kindest person in the world, and you could be the sweetest person in the world, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot be to your child what God needs for you to be. If you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can fix that this morning. You can take care of that this morning. You can get into your life what you need to be the kind of parent and grandparent you need to be. "Preacher, how do I do that?" You realize that you too are a sinner. You realize that there's a penalty for that sin. You realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty. And then this morning you come and you say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I understand you're the only one that will work. And right now, at this moment, September the 4th, 2011, at 12:07 in the afternoon, I'm asking you to be my Savior." And the Bible says if you'll do that, He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll save you. And then you can be the kind of mom or kind of dad, the kind of grandpa or kind of grandma that God needs for you to be for your child. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story, even though it's so familiar, what wonderful truths it has for each of us. And I pray for the mom or the dad or the grandpa or the grandma. I pray for the teenager that might be here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Father, you'd help them understand that they need one and that Jesus is the only one that will work. And I pray you'll help them come just now, right now, just when we stand in just a second and we sing. I pray you'll help them to walk down the aisle and we can take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. I pray you speak to Christian hearts too. Father, I pray if there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, that you'd help us get it out. You'd help us rid it from our life so that we could serve you better and be the kind of parent, grandparent that you want for us to be. So I ask you, Father, to bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.